This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, happy Friday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending a little bit of your afternoon, maybe your lunchtime, with us here on 97.1 FM Talk. We're glad to have you. We're going to speak with Joe DeVito, who is a regular panelist on Gutfeld on Fox News. You definitely know him, recognize him from there. But I also think that it'll be interesting to talk to him about the vice presidential debate. I think it'll be interesting to talk to him about Joe Biden. Did you guys see Joe Biden's response? Several recent responses here on questions he's being asked by the media.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It's yes.
He does not seem well. This doesn't seem like a surprise or anything that President Biden isn't as with it as, you know, maybe Kamala Harris might be in this instance. Like if we ask these questions, is it fair to ask Kamala Harris of these questions first and foremost? She is the vice president. Has he turned over the reins to her? If he hasn't, and he's the president, why does he say things like this when he's asked about
states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Okay.
What are the states in the storm zone? What do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. And they're very happy across the board. So we just got to keep... I'm going to have to go back to the Congress and get some more money for it.
He doesn't understand. The question is, are they getting everything they need? And from the storm, are they getting everything they need? He has to locate which storm is being referred to there. He's like, oh, the storm. I wonder which storm you were talking about. And then he says they're getting everything they need. And he says they're happy across the board. I saw today directly from FEMA, the FEMA Twitter account, a message, and then I didn't have time because I was not in a position to compare them both when I saw it, but it looked like the American Red Cross tweeted out the exact same message that FEMA had sent out, and FEMA is there and ready to respond to disinformation that is out there. I don't know how much budget the disinformation wing of FEMA is operating on, but FEMA is very much so pushing back on the idea of rumors and disinformation. Their tweet that they sent out yesterday at 5:14. This is from FEMA, at FEMA on X. There's been a lot. It says there has been a lot of rumors. Shouldn't it say there have been?
Yes. You don't need to question that. That's for sure.
There has been a lot of rumors spreading about the hashtag Helene response. Rumors can create confusion and prevent people from getting assistance they need. Help us share accurate information. And then they link to FEMA.gov/Helene-rumors. So it says rumor. FEMA does not have enough money to provide disaster assistance for Helene. Fact, FEMA has enough money right now for immediate response and recovery needs. If you are affected by Helene, do not hesitate to apply for disaster assistance, as there is a variety of help available for different needs. Rumor, FEMA is asking for cash donations and turning away volunteers. Fact, this is false. FEMA does not ask generally accept any cash donations or volunteers for disaster response. We do encourage people who want to help to volunteer with or donate cash to reputable voluntary or charitable organizations. After a disaster, cash is often the best way to help, as it provides the greatest flexibility for these reputable organizations working on the ground to purchase exactly what is needed. If you encounter someone claiming to represent FEMA and asking for donations, be careful, as that is likely a scam. government employees will never solicit money. It's a little, I got a question about that.
Okay.
It's a different topic. Rumor, funding for FEMA disaster response was diverted to support international efforts or border-related issues. That's not the rumor. That's a little broad and vague. Fact, this is false. No money is being diverted from disaster response needs. FEMA's disaster response efforts and individual assistance is funded through the Disaster Relief Fund, which is a dedicated fund for disaster efforts. Disaster Relief Fund money has not been diverted to other non-disaster related efforts. Rumor, FEMA is confiscating donations for survivors. Fact, rumor about FEMA turning away donations, stopping trucks or vehicles with donations, confiscating and seizing supplies often spread after a disaster. These are all false. FEMA does not take donations and or food from survivors or voluntary organizations. Donations of food, water, and other goods are handled by voluntary agencies who specialize in storing, sorting, cleaning, and distributing donated items. FEMA does not conduct vehicle stops or handle road closures with armed guards. These are done by local law enforcement. Last one, FEMA will only provide $750 to disaster survivors to support their recovery. Fact, this is false. One type of assistance that is often approved quickly after you apply to serious needs assistance, which is $750, help pay for essential items like food, water, baby formula, breastfeeding supplies, medication, and other emergency supplies. There are other forms of assistance that you may qualify to receive once you apply for disaster assistance. As your application continues to be reviewed, you may still receive additional forms of assistance for other needs, such as support for temporary housing and home repair costs. Learn more about the types of assistance available. And then it goes on to say how you can contact them. A lot of these are their response to rumors that are taking place. And rumors do swirl in instances like this. So I think it's good that FEMA is out here trying to clarify things, but they are definitely clarifying things in political terms. There's definitely a political angle to this. What Americans are looking at right now is a president who has to go, oh, which storm? Oh, that storm. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, I know he spent the weekend at the beach while the rest of the people's front yards were being turned into a beach by the ocean rushing into them throughout North Carolina and everywhere leading up to it. But the president doesn't know what's going on, and he says that people are happy across the board with the service that has been provided by the federal government. That is not true. That needs to be fact-checked, FEMA. That is not accurate. People are not happy. The governors are not happy. People are not okay. And the issue that many Americans have right now regarding funding that goes through FEMA, you notice they say here, FEMA does not have enough money to provide disaster assistance for Helene. FEMA has enough money right now for immediate response and recovery needs. Haven't they come out and said that they don't know about the next storm that comes through? We're depleting all of our resources here. Now, the question in government is if you deplete your resources, where do you go to get more money? Well, the overbloated federal government says they come to you to get more money. They can always go back to the taxpayer, which is where all of FEMA's money comes from, is from you, the government. Other than printing money and degrading the value of what you have and what you've saved and what you own, the government does not have money until they take it from you. And the only way that they can subsidize depleted resources is to take it from you or to move it from somewhere else. But we've moved all of our money overseas. We've sent billions of dollars to Zelensky, who comes back and says, please, may I have some more? And then we say, sure, what do you want? There are instances all across the world where American dollars have gone to help, assist, grow, build, rebuild places all across the world. And right now, for whatever particular reason, there are people still stranded a week after this storm hits. And the majority of the help that is rescuing these people are civilians who have found helicopters and are going out looking for people flashing mirrors at those helicopters to be rescued. But FEMA's on it. They're going to make sure that the disinformation doesn't win the day. Good for them.
Why do we even have a 25th Amendment?
It's a fair question.
If you're not using it right now, this is why it was written. It doesn't even matter. I pulled up FEMA.gov because I had heard people talking about this and I wanted to see for myself. There's a tab. It's on the homepage under priorities. You'd think pretty clearly.
Is America in there?
there's a flag logo in there.
Does it say red state, blue state?
Tab that says priorities. Number one, credit to them, disaster response and recovery. There really, though, shouldn't be anything other than that.
Just stop at number one.
That's it. You don't really need to even say that. We know what your organization is. Number two, equity. Instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. Number three, climate resilience. Lead whole of community in climate resilience. And there's all kinds of things that you can dig into each one of these. It's right there on FEMA's website, on the homepage.
We've got a really, really big problem here, and it's not a red-blue problem. There are Republicans and Democrats who are stranded, who have lost everything, who are looking for anybody to help. I was watching Jesse Waters last night, and there was a young man. I would assume he was in his early 20s, and he was heartbroken at the devastation that they had experienced. Jesse asked him if he had lost anybody, and he said that he had a friend who he lost who was he was homeless, and his friend and another one of their homeless friends had put up tent or shop or whatever near the river, and they drowned. And he's like, there's nobody here. Nobody's coming. Nobody cares. And he wasn't, I mean, I teared up watching this. And I watch a lot of news, and I've seen some horrific stories come out of this Helene thing. Ones where I see the headline and I'm like, I am not capable of reading that story. I wish I'd never even seen the headline. There are a lot of politics that surround what's going on right now in this hurricane response. But it all comes after the immediate response that needs to take place for the people of North Carolina, for Georgia, for South Carolina, for Florida, those people who are experiencing the immediate effect of a hurricane. There's the rebuilding process. There's the, okay, everything's clear. How do we relay this road? Where do we put people up while we get the ground clean? There are people still stranded. This is the type of stuff, you know, here in the Midwest, we react to tornadoes. We know what it's like to experience massive tornadoes. I've talked about this before, but my parents' house was hit. The barn that's on our property there, my parents' property there, ended up having to come down because of that tornado. I was at my parents' house when that tornado hit. I saw what happened to the Amazon building. The Amazon building was in the yard when we came out of the house. The pieces of it were all over the place, and if you nowhere to look, they're still in the trees in the area by my house, my parents' house, because the insulation and the parts of the building that got picked up and taken all the way through the path of that tornado, they still exist there.
Yeah, that's wild because that building's not that close to you guys. I mean, it's
a mile and a half by the crow fly.
Yeah.
We know what it's like to clean up after that, but a tornado is boom, there, and then it's gone, and it just massive destruction. The hurricane did this to states, and they're dealing with this and reacting to this on such a massive scale that it's like what we've experienced with tornadoes, so exponentially larger. And we don't have a federal government that can show up and run the show. I feel like we do have the resources. We do have the personnel that can make this happen. Why aren't we doing it? Why isn't it happening? God be with those people who are dealing with an absolutely horrific hurricane and a completely inept government. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Joe DeVito is going to join us. We're going to take listener calls at 1 o'clock. Our YouTube live chat poll is, what scares you the most? It's October, folks. We've got spiders. That's what scares me the most. Heights scares Brad the most. Snakes scares Ethan the most. And Ryan couldn't really pin one down.
So scared of so many things.
He's got so many things. So the fourth one is other. So Ryan will tell us throughout the day all the things that frighten him. And you can vote for other, too, and we'll see how many commonalities we get in your YouTube comments. Joe DeVito on The Annie Fry Show. When we return, don't go away.
It's good to be alive right about now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh man, I love this song. It makes me happy. Makes me think of my childhood. Do you remember this song, Eric Carmen?
Oh, I remember it, but I don't have any fond memories like you do.
You didn't walk in slow motion on the beach to this song?
No, but I will.
Okay, good. In Pontoon Beach. Yeah. Yeah, naturally. Yeah. Just a little good Eric Carmen to get your Friday going exactly the way it should be. We've been talking in the first segment a lot about Hurricane Helene and the response. And when you see President Biden walk out there and say, oh, that storm, you have to ask yourself, to your point, Ryan, why do we even have the 25th Amendment? I think that was very well put. Want to bring our next guest onto the show. Excited to, as always, have Joe DeVito join us, a writer, comedian, famous comedian, I might add, regular panelist on the Fox News' Gutfeld hit show. Joe DeVito is back with us. Joe, good to have you here. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, always good to talk to you guys.
You too. Did you see the clip of Joe Biden like needing clarification when he was asked by the reporter about do the people have what they need from the storm? And he had to think about that for a second to make sure that he could sort out all the storms in his life. What do you think about that?
Yeah. What storm? Oh no, the Galveston flood of 1900, Joe. What do you think we're talking
about?
He's
been around for a lot of them.
He has. And I want to know, like, for a guy who spends all his time on the beach, I've never seen someone that pale.
That umbrella must be doing the trick that he's usually sitting under. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Kamala took his delegates and his melanin. He's got to throw on some sunblock.
Are you worried about him actually functioning? Like, I mean, we've been talking about this for years, his ability and his faculties. I mean, it's October. There's going to be a new president in January. Doesn't matter anymore. Does it bother you that he's not there?
Oh, well, I was listening to you guys talk about the 25th Amendment. What's the point of having it? He's clearly incapacitated. I think at this point, it's just a very slow grudge match between him and Jimmy Carter.
What do you think? Okay. I don't know how to say this in all seriousness, because I'm going to say in all seriousness, and we've got Joe DeVito on the phone here. That's why you're here, Joe, for seriousness.
Okay.
They took that picture of Jimmy Carter on his 100th birthday. He doesn't look well. Yeah. Everybody knows what it's like to experience somebody at that point in their life. They've lived a long life. They're not well. They don't look like they used to. Is it the right thing to do for the president of the United States? He's still here with us. He's 100 years old. Quite a feat to publicize that moment.
No, I thought it was pretty gross of his family. I mean, I've seen people who are 100 years old who were pretty sharp, but I don't think you should put that pressure on somebody. He looked terrible. I think he's just hanging in there so he can hold on to his title of worst living president. Because, like I said, he and Joe are battling it out now.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I don't know why they had to do that. And then to turn into a political thing where, was it his grandson or his nephew saying that he just wants to live long enough to vote for Kamala? I mean, come on.
To reduce his life to that. Like, he can die in mid-November and it'll be fine. That just seems very bizarre to me. I want to talk to you about the vice presidential debate. The memes that have come out of the facial expressions of J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, that's publicity that campaigns can't even buy. I think J.D. Vance stuck the landing on that one. What was your take on what took place on Tuesday at that debate?
I thought it was great. I think Tim Walz looks like someone who's wearing a Tim Walz mask.
Yeah. Somebody said that. Like, he looks like he's playing Tim Walz. That's exactly right.
Yeah, his face looks a little rubbery, and he has that bad attribute of when you look at still photos from video, he looks like he has no teeth. I don't know what causes that. He looks like his mouth is empty. And the way they're trying to spin it, that, you know, when his eyes are wide, it means he's passionate, which, look, if you're in a moment of passion with someone in their eyes, do that. Feel free to fill those eyes with pepper spray, because that is not good.
I don't know what he means. Joe, it's just so funny that you mentioned that, because not on the air, but while we were watching the debate together, I said something about, you can tell something about a person by how much of their teeth you can see when they're talking and smile. And I was like, I don't know why. That's really weird. But you and I are kindred spirits in that regard. That's weird.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's anything you can do to control. I know for me, I have some crooked teeth because I'm such an angry person that I'm pretty much grinding my teeth down all the time. And whenever I see a screenshot from an appearance on Fox, I look like Snaggletooth. Of course, I'm on panel with everyone whose teeth look like perfect piano keys. So I understand what he might be going through. But that was, and he also looked a little bit like the guy from the Heaven's Gate cult. He had a little bit of that kind of vibe to him.
Applewhite.
What about
he did look
Applewhite?
That was his name, yeah.
Why do you know that?
I don't know, but I had to say it because I knew it.
And you know what was also they had in common? Both of them have had their testicles removed.
What? Is this a setup?
Wait, is this going?
You know that? In the Heaven's Gate cult, one of the things to do is they went to Mexico to get themselves castrated.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, you and Ryan are just trying to show off about how much you know about these cults. Ryan, your turn. Hail Bob.
No, he got me. I don't know anymore.
Purple cloths.
The Heaven's Gate one was great because I love cult stuff, and you hear the people say, oh, he was so charismatic. Yeah. And you watch 2 seconds of footage and you think, this guy's the biggest loon I've ever seen in my life. So, again, perhaps some parallels to our current leaders and wannabe leaders.
Yeah. Joe DeVito with us right now, writer, comedian, and regular panelist on Fox News Gutfeld. We've talked about Tim Walz. What about J.D. Vance? Because, you know, he came into this. He was the weird one, according to Tim Walz. He's the one who started the whole... It's like, oh, this all makes sense now. I get it. What did you think about J.D. Vance's performance?
I thought he did great, and I thought he seemed prepared. He did everything you would want someone to do in a debate like that. And you can tell because, again, when the spin machine, they're trying to say, oh, well, sure, he sounded great, but that just is even more reason to be worried about him. And it's like, well, no, I mean, he actually did a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is what a good guy looks like. You know, we had Tyrus on. He's on with us every Thursday. And he said he wanted J.D. Vance to be more aggressive, which coming from Tyrus doesn't surprise me at all. He wanted to see a fight. He wanted to see J.D. Vance take it to Tim Walz and put Tim Walz out of his misery. It looked like he was miserable up there. I contested with Tyrus that I thought that J.D. Vance's job was to win over or put a major crack in the surface of the suburban women, because that's where Donald Trump, that's probably his lowest demographic of people who are in my world right now. You're moving kids around. Maybe you don't have kids, but you're working your tail off. You're really busy and you just don't have time for Donald Trump's meanness, his mean tweets. And I thought J.D. Vance was supposed to come out there and be charming. I'm wondering if you think that's what J.D. Vance was trying to do, and also how much you like his pretty ice blue eyes, Joe DeVito. Go.
Well, first I have to say I'm not surprised that Tyrus would say he needs to be more aggressive, because it's easy to say when you're
Tyrus.
6'8". Yes. You know, you don't hear a lot of guys my size saying I need to be more aggressive. Guys who look like me is like, how can I win through subterfuge and rigging the system? But no, I think you make a good point, because what we always hear people say, the Republicans come across sounding mean.
Yeah.
And particularly when you have the slogan from the Democrats seems to be joy and let the good times roll. I don't know what they're basing that on, but I think it was good for him to come in and show, oh, yeah, he's the kind of guy you want in charge of stuff. And I think that's the opposite that Tim Walz came across as a guy that you don't even want, you know, managing the night shift at an Arby's. Like, he just seemed like he was out of his depth. So, yeah, I think that's good because, you know, as much as I love when Trump is sarcastic and petty and it cracks me up, I know that it doesn't always come across well.
Yeah. You're avoiding the question about J.D. Vance's eyes. What'd you think?
About his eyes? Did I get lost in them? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah. No. No, not at all. Not me. Not Joe DeVito.
Well, I maintain this. As a bearded person, I think the beard is really the key. I'm glad to see Vance is bringing it, because without the beard, he looks like a baby. He's got a baby face. But also, it's nice to have someone younger running for office. I mean, ideally, look, they pull this off. Trump does his one term. Vance, again, I'm getting way ahead. Vance becomes president, maybe brings in Tulsi as his VP, and we can start to bring this country back.
Yeah, it's actually, even though Donald Trump, should he win, there's a finality to that. Like, if Trump wins, he gets 4 years, and then he can he can still tweet or Truth or whatever it was called. He can still be Donald Trump and be influential, but it will be the responsibility of whatever the Republican Party is at that point, which is going to look very different than when Donald Trump came onto the scene in 2015 and 2016. It will be the party's job to say, this is what we're about in the future. And with the way things so rapidly change with the digital age and AI and everything that's out there, I mean, what it looks like right now won't be the same as what it looks like in 2028. And, you know, when you say Tulsi Gabbard being the vice presidential candidate, a lot of people are like, oh, she's a Democrat. But the Democrats they don't resemble anything about what the Democrat Party was when Tulsi Gabbard was actually in that party either. They've changed quite a bit.
For sure. And when you hear her talk about things like not getting us into these pointless, endless wars, and just even look to hear the amount of money that we've wasted sending overseas, and then when we have emergencies here for our citizens, and we hear, oh, sorry, we're running out of money, and you think, wait a minute, what's going on here? You sent billions to the Ukraine, and even domestically, the billions for some internet connections in the United States where they didn't hook up a single person. There's no accountability for it. And even in New York, you know, I spend a lot of time in New York City. People forget that our previous mayor, Bill de Blasio, his wife was given almost $1 billion for a homeless outreach program, and no one knows where it went. $1 billion. So you look at the way we're throwing money around this, and to say that we don't need to make some kind of serious changes in our government, and people, like I heard you mention earlier about government money. Unless the government's been out selling Herbalife, then they don't make money. They seize money from the citizens.
Yes.
And then they have the nerve to spend it on not our citizens.
Yeah.
Joe DeVito, I'm trying to find a silver lining here. Tell me if you think this is one. You know, among the disaster relief that's happening in the four states on the East Coast right now, the government is woefully inadequate, really, at almost any level, other than you hear that Ron DeSantis has actually been sending people up north. But is there any sort of hope and inspiration that really this is just people helping people right now?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunately that's a lesson that has to be learned through this, that the government is not coming to help you out, that you really need to be prepared for yourself. It starts with yourself, your family, your community, and it works out that way. And that's why people who are in favor of centralized government and economies and all that, it never works. Because people who are far away from the problems, they really don't care. So if anything, I mean, it's so hard to say anything positive out of this.
Right.
But just a reminder that no one's coming to save you, and this is what really matters. I know for me, my plan for any tragedy, I immediately am going to cannibalism. And I know that's not the end.
It's just your default. Yeah, you know it's not right, but
it's hard for some people to admit,
right,
Joe.
Look, I feel like it satisfies so many of my needs right there. Now, you know, sure, maybe you shouldn't eat the people that you're on a plane with. Maybe it's just a 2-hour layover. What I'm saying is better safe than sorry.
Ooh, hard to follow up that statement here. What can I say? Were you on set when Donald Trump was on Gutfeld? Look at that hard transition.
No.
Was it because of statements like that?
Let's keep Joe away.
my pro-cannibalism platform?
Yeah, get Joe out of here.
No, unfortunately, I'd already asked for that. I had to do some stuff from home that day, so it wasn't. Although I think with the Secret Service and all that, you know, they wouldn't have allowed us. I mean, I know that one time Joe Mackey and I went down to try and meet Tulsi Gabbard, and they were like, you two idiots, get out of here. harassing the guests. So, but I thought,
were you like trying to sneak in, or did you just ask? Were you, in my mind, you're trying to like move quickly around corners to catch a glimpse, and you're like, get out of here, boys.
Well, I don't like to use the word skulking. But there may have been. It was funny when we went down to meet Tulsi that everyone was asking us why we were down there because neither of us was on the show. And then Greg walked in and immediately said, "Oh, you guys here creeping on Tulsi?" And we fled when he said that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Trump did great on the show, and I think it's so important to see him as just chilling with the other guests and being who he is, and not. You know, not having to be P.T. Barnum in front of a big audience, as much as I enjoy seeing that. So, well, what did you think?
We loved it. I loved it. I loved the way that he got to talk about real things in his own way without having to, you know, Rally Trump is Rally Trump. I've been to two rallies. One of them was more of an appearance, and the second one was a rally because it's something to take that in. But that was a different setting. And President Trump is accessible. He's made himself very accessible, and it is the converse of what we're getting from the other side.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, even when he was on Lex Fridman and when he was on these other podcasts he's doing, I think it's great. And you look at the way the other team is just refusing to answer questions. Mm-hmm. And that's with the media on their side, man. You think, how bad must they do?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's also so fun. So it's just so strange that, you know, you see Donald Trump on our show and, I mean, this is a show where I was wearing a monkey costume not too long ago. Like, it's just so insane that, like, this is a show where we do these ridiculous things, yet we're having this kind of impact.
Yeah. Is this where you guys saw Gutfeld going when you created, when they gave you the keys to that hour on Fox News? Did they think, you know, one day we'll have the president of the United States sitting down, former president, potentially next president, sitting down and just shooting the breeze with us? Was that the goal?
If it was, it certainly didn't filter down to the level where I'm at. I mean, you know, it is something that we have talked about. And, you know, I think this shows you one of the things that Greg is able to do is Greg, I think, is able to see these things much farther ahead than someone who doesn't have that insight does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. We laugh that even if there are times where we're on panel with serious people and we'll say things and like a serious person will say, "Oh, that's a good point of view." And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, I tell jokes for a living. What is this? But I think it goes to show that the people who traditionally were asked for these opinions on these things, we've learned that it's the death of expertise. These people are buffoons. So why not listen to me, a guy who was wearing I dressed up on that show as a rat, a shark, a monkey? Yeah, hear what I have to say.
You're almost a children's book, Joe DeVito. Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on with us. We love having you, and we love watching Gutfeld and seeing you there on there as well. We appreciate your time on a Friday.
Right on. Always love talking to you guys. Thanks.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Joe DeVito, who is a writer, a comedian, and a regular panelist on Fox News Gutfeld. I think he writes specifically for that show as well. Great to have him on the show. It's a wild ride. You never know. I can have a guest on that's talking foreign policy, and I know I'm going to talk about this subject and this subject, and then I just will ask questions within those two. Like, maybe we're going to talk about Israel, but we're also going to talk about the border. And I got to transition halfway through from one to the next. But I ask questions within that. You never, ever know where conversations with a Joe DeVito or a Jamie Lissow, you do not know where it's going to go. It's more difficult.
That was a beautiful transition from cannibalism to
so
you guys
Trump.
Sat down with the President of the United States.
I don't have any cannibalism segues in my in my back pocket.
The other funny thing about that is, as he was saying that, we have a picture of him up online as we're interviewing where he's eating. He's got a knife and a fork and he's just smiling at the camera looking crazy.
Yeah, that's great. Love to have him on here. He's been in studio with us multiple times. He's been to St. Louis multiple times. He's wonderful. We're going to take a quick break. The brie. It's just a segment on cheese.
Yeah, I'm going to hold up different cheeses. You let us know.
It looks like cheddar to me. Brad, what about you? We'll be right back.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
bee or not the bee.
Thank
Hooray.
You very much. Thank you very much for that decorum. This is the bee or not the bee. These are headlines that are either fake from the Babylon Bee or they are real. You have to tell me which is which. The first is Ron Paul decorates for Halloween by putting spooky national debt counter in front yard.
Ooh.
Ron Paul?
Ron Paul decorates for Halloween by putting spooky national debt counter in front yard.
Definitely something Massey would do.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Ron Paul? Rand Paul's dad?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good to know.
You weren't part of the Ron Paul revolution.
The budget hawk libertarian.
I'm going to say B.
I'm going to say it's real.
I'm going with the B.
It is the B. According to neighborhood libertarian Colin Rhodes, the spectacle is petrifying both because Ron Paul had put it up so early in the season and...
It's always a season for that thing.
And because of the constantly increasing number it displayed. Quote, I have trouble walking by his home alone now, Rhodes admitted. I see that thing out of the corner of my eye. I almost fainted when I saw the 35,672,265,783,296.
Terrifying.
A couple hours ago this evening. And it's added even more just while I've been talking here. It's scaring all the neighborhood kids. I don't know why we're going to make it for the next 4 weeks with that thing staring me down.
Perhaps the scariest Halloween decoration of all time.
Yeah. I kind of want to put one of those in my yard now.
Make it real.
Yeah, Home Depot, could you just sell these in mass, please? All right, next
Man,
one.
Man, that's capitalism.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That's next level.
Doctors will no longer ask who is the president to test for concussions since honestly nobody is really sure right now.
The bee?
It's got to be the bee.
It's real.
Up until the last sentence of that.
Where someone goes, actually.
It's the bee. The change in procedure came after doctors began realizing the patient's confusion after being asked to name the president was actually a sign of a healthy brain function rather than a symptom of brain trauma. Quote, diagnosing concussions is very different here in 2024, said neurologist Dr. Scott Scully. In fact, we found that patients who confidently assert that Joe Biden is running the country often have some level of brain damage. Those are the people we schedule to have brain scans right away.
Oh! Medical advancements.
To be real, there probably are people, I don't know my age, but younger than me, probably in high school and middle school, that don't know who the president is. So, I mean, that's honestly a fair thing if they were actually taking that out.
It's not like he's out there making himself known the way Trump would, the way Obama did, the way Clinton would have.
And with Kamala running now as vice president, you know, if you're not really paying attention at all, you might wonder what's happening.
Kids also just don't care.
Yeah.
Less than ever.
Okay, woman jailed for a month after cops confused her SpaghettiOs for meth.
Sounds real.
Yeah, that has to be real.
It's not local, is it?
No, it's not local. It's from Gainesville, Georgia, and it is real. The Gainesville Times reports deputies arrested 23-year-old Ashley Gabriel Huff of Gainesville after they found a spoon covered with a suspicious residue inside the car she was riding in. She spent more than a month in jail.
Did you say SpaghettiOs?
Yeah.
Suspicious residue.
SpaghettiOs confused with what?
Meth.
What is meth?
Meth is meth, for short, for methamphetamine.
Yeah, but... SpaghettiOs?
What is SpaghettiOs?
Maybe the meth was in...
Now, that's a good question.
Why were they so popular?
Maybe the meth was in O shapes.
She spent
Do they take the time to do that?
I don't know. Ethan?
I don't know.
Ethan, this is why you're here. I'm very proud of how much we don't know about this story.
Me too.
Go on.
More than a month in jail, she spent before a crime lab analysis report came back, confirming the spoon was encrusted with SpaghettiO sauce, not drugs.
Rich.
The chief
She's
of
suing somebody? Yeah.
Probably. The chief of police had this to say.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
You're welcome.
Are you proud?
Yeah, I am.
Never okay. heard of,
as
never
long
heard
as you're happy, Ryan.
Young sheriff.
Yeah. Uh-oh,
that was the chief of police, not the sheriff.
Chief of police.
Have you ever heard that before, Ethan?
Yes.
You've heard Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs?
Yeah, we used to, I don't know where, it's one of those things that you kind of like, oh, I know I've heard that somewhere, I just don't know where it came from.
Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the chief of police said that, the sheriff said this.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
It's a small town, it's the same guy.
So I wasn't wrong.
Right. Okay. You're right. Okay, MSNBC producer says the network is doing all they can to help the Harris campaign.
That's real.
Yeah, that's real.
This is real.
Yeah.
Meet Basil Hamdan. Hamdan is a writer and producer for MSNBC's weekend show, Ayman. Hamdan got himself connected on the Bumble dating app with an undercover journalist from James O'Keefe's media company. And what he had to say on their date site, on their date, was not very surprising if you're familiar with MSNBC.
So is MSNBC just like doing whatever it takes to get his home allotted?
Yes, yes. It hammers home the point that I'm making, that this news network is indistinguishable from the party.
Are they just the Democratic Party's mouthpiece?
Exactly.
MSNBC is the Democratic Party's mouthpiece.
Yes. Yeah.
Basil calls MSNBC viewers brainwashed.
Listen, dude. When she's asking questions like that, yeah. She is not there for you.
The second time.
She's like leaning in with her microphone. So you were saying that MSNBC is completely in the tank for Democrats, and would you be willing to say that on the record? I mean, just like here, casually, at a diner that nobody would ever possibly know this conversation? What do you think?
Yeah. Can you say that into my penne pasta?
Yeah.
Here. My lapel.
Into my SpaghettiOs.
Into my SpaghettiOs.
They got their purse on the table, and they keep adjusting it.
Yeah. Look, I'll give you this SpaghettiO meth if you'll tell me a little bit about your network.
Wait, James O'Keefe and other people are exposing people left and right, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. And then it's Saturday. Nobody cares.
Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, well, just another
one.
North Carolina asks Zelensky for $100 billion in U.S. funding.
This has got to be the B.
North Carolina asks Zelensky for $100 billion in U.S. funding. Yes, it is the B. He's the man with the money, said North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. I have a lot of faith in the Biden administration to provide us with help, but we simply can't afford to wait around while the federal government drags its feet. If we want the level of U.S. funding we need to help with relief efforts, we need to go where all the money is. I knew I had to get Zelensky on the phone right away. A source within the Ukrainian government disclosed that it may be difficult to come up with the amount of funding North Carolina needs. Quote, we would be happy to help, the source said. We just need to figure out where the money went.
Yeah.
Got time for one more? Okay. Tim Walz clarifies that he meant the Tiananmen Square Chinese buffet in Omaha, Nebraska.
Go on.
Oh, yeah. You think it's B? You just happen to be right. Quote, look, I'm a knucklehead. Walz clarified on the debate stage Tuesday. What I actually meant was I was enjoying a succulent Chinese meal with my family at the Tiananmen.
Succulent Chinese meal.
At the Tiananmen Square Chinese buffet. That food is to die for. J.D. Vance tried vainly to argue that Waltz knew exactly what he was doing, that no normal person would obfuscate a Chinese dinner with the slaughter of protesters.
Well, no normal person would.
However, he was forced by Waltz to admit he had never been to the Tiananmen Square Chinese buffet. Waltz responded, so how would you know that it's what it's like to live in Nebraska and eat Chinese food? Turning the tables on him and totally winning the debate.
No, good ones. Good ones. The B never misses. Thank you, Ryan. Stick around. Let's take some listener calls when we come back on your reactions to the debate, where you think this election is right now, or you can call in about the poll. What scares you the most? Spiders, heights, snakes, or something else? More in the Annie Fry Show next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.